out. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as
so the combination of chicken noodle soup and Chardonnay just kind of has me thinking here a little bit, big guy. Just thought I'd check in because we made it through. We made it through the football weekend, right? So I'm just curious. Are we still dry January? Did you make it through the football weekend without any sort of wine or alcohol during the wild card round of football games?
Kinda.
Jeez. God bless it. What do you mean kind of?
But with that, hold on. We'll get back to that.
Putting me on ice.
So if soup isn't a meal, is salad a meal? Because my wife eats like a bird now, the older you get. And she's like, how about just a chicken Caesar salad for dinner?
Yeah, we've done that. Or oh, we'll yeah. do, you know, like during Lent chew. I know, you know, during Lent, you got to have just the, you know, salmon Caesar salads real good, like on a Friday.
Gabe, you're 193 pounds, okay? I'm 270-ish, okay? Is salad a meal? Is that where I'm at in my life? Because I was going to make pork chop, mashed potatoes, little broccoli. Probably not a salad because you got the fiber and the broccoli. Now it's chicken Caesar salad. Do I just have to accept that and roll with it? I know it's good for you.
Chicken Caesar is one of my favorite dinners that happens at my house.
It's super easy to make.
Yeah.
Like easy to make.
Can you go to bed hungry? Can you go to bed hungry?
I mean, I
can go to bed hungry. That's fine.
All right,
a lot of people can't go to bed
hungry. Then what are we discussing here? Seems like problem's been solved, because I'll tell you this right now. If your wife wants, I know one thing for sure. The one thing I do know for sure, I'm not sure if soup is a meal. I don't know if salad is a meal. But if your wife tells you that your meal tonight is chicken Caesar salad, guess what you're having tonight, big guy?
Yeah, chicken Caesar. Also, and it's good.
Couldn't you just eat
it's good. Hold on, Joshy, though. But I think I need a soup with it.
Yeah, soup and salad? Why not? I think you're fine with that.
Okay.
What soup?
What goes good with Caesar salad?
That's what I was going to ask.
Okay, that's the next question that I don't have an answer for.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to go overboard because you're doing chicken Caesar salad, so right. I don't know if you want like a chicken broth.
No.
So probably some sort of vegetable-based soup?
Yeah, but I don't want to cream because it is cutting season, even though I can't work out. This flipping elbow, doctors suck.
But you're our doctor. What are you telling us about you?
I went on. Here's the deal. I went on Mayo Clinic, put in all my things, and I diagnosed it. I have a bad case of tennis elbow, which I've had before.
Okay.
And it usually lasts about 2-3 weeks. I'm going on 6 weeks here, and it is not going anywhere. Right?
Yeah. So have you done anything about it? Have you taken some ice, you know, iced it, elevated
it? Yeah, I've been icing and stimming. My doctor gave me some, what seems to be placebo anti-inflams. Now I'm going to go get a shot of Toradol, which is going to completely piss him off.
What? What, you're just going to get black market Toradol?
Oh, you can get anything down here. It's Florida. Yes. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
When's
yeah.
the last time you had a Toradol shot?
I kind of had one in my IV in Las Vegas, but that was like bare aspirin Toradol. It was terrible. But I'm going to get the real deal. And then he brought up needling. What is needling? What is needling? Have you had needling? Has anyone ever had needling?
I don't know.
Isn't needling adjacent to acupuncture in a similar way?
I would assume, like, I've heard of
Does
needling.
Does it work? Does it work?
I do not have the qualifications to determine yes or no on that.
But I don't know what it is. I can't tell you if it works or not. That's good.
And here's the thing. You just mentioned placebo. There are certainly things that happen that do end up curing people despite them not actually having, because as we know, the placebo effect is so strong that despite it not actually doing what it's intended, it can cure things.
Like, if I can't work out and it's been, you know, I can cardio and stuff like that, but I haven't been able to pump weights in, I think this will be 5 weeks. And I am not pleasant to be around when I can't pump iron. And I still think I play, so I still think I should be afforded the drugs when I play.
Sure, because you need to be able to lift your weights.
So send me Indocin, send me Toradol, give me something that is going to knock this out. I understand they're looking after my health, okay? But I'm fine with 85. My brain's going to be gone. Quality of life, right?
So your thought process is you don't care what the drugs are going to do long term because you don't care about long term.
I won't know anyways. Yeah. I just want to be able to lift, and not doing it for 5 weeks is just crushing.
I can't imagine. Who do you think is worse to deal with? My dog, who has had a cast on his leg because his leg's been broken for, today is 8 weeks. 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Is that more difficult to deal with? Again, I have to lift my dog. Anytime I take it outside, I'm carrying him downstairs. I'm carrying him up the stairs when we have to go to bed at night. Like, is that more annoying, or is Chewy more difficult to deal with when he can't lift weights for 5 weeks? I mean, the answer's Chewy, and it's not even close, right?
Yeah, no, the dog is, your dog's nice.
Pleasant.
Pleasant to be around. Does relax.
I know, but who lays down more in the day, the dog or me?
Especially with not lifting, that's a great question. Especially with no lifting weights for you.
I just need something to do to kill time till I can go to bed. That's essentially what it is. So there's that. I'll try this needling thing.
All right, so
he recommended that.
We have somebody. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy fan base, incredibly strong. You go, hey, what's needling? Joshy and I have no idea, so we have somebody call in on the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776, and Mike and Franklin can give us a needling explanation. Mike, the floor is yours.
Okay, guys. Good morning to you. Hey, I'm not a doctor or anything. I'm just going to tell you my experience. My daughter is a dancer. She had that needling done on her ankle. I had it done on my knee, and my wife had it done on her foot because she had plantar fasciitis. All three of us had helped. A chiropractor can do it. It's like putting needles in. It's somewhat like a pressure point type thing. And I was a little skeptical myself, but I'll tell you what, this stuff really works awesome. It's worth it. It's worth trying.
Really? Okay. So, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, there's like I said, like, a lot of chiropractors. Well, it does not hurt, no. Not at all. Not at all.
But it's needles, like I said, though, actually, right?
Well, yeah, so here's the problem.
Like little, they're like little, I would describe them as like stick pins. Like stick pins that they put in your knee or your wherever your area of problem is, and it does help quite a bit.
All right, we appreciate that call, Mike. But here's the problem. Here's the problem that just occurred to me as we were talking about needling, Chew. You don't do good with needles.
No, that's the problem. But I won't look. As long as they're not long needles. I mean, if they're like little tack needles, I think I'd be all right.
God, how do you struggle? You are literally the toughest dude I know. It's a Dude Tuesday. You're the toughest dude I know, and you're scared of needles?
Yeah, a little bit. I should be able to write my own prescriptions. I think it's just, what? I mean, why can't, what the hell? You know what I mean?
You think, so, okay. I'm not looking to get
Vicodin or anything like that, but I mean, you should be able to write, and I know you can't be on anti-inflams forever. I've taken 1,000 anti-inflams in my life, and it's like wrestling to get a stupid anti-inflam when I know exactly I need Indocin to knock this thing out. You can't go with bare aspirin. You know what I'm saying?
So I want to follow this line of thinking.
I think you can write your own scripts in Canada.
So again, I want to follow this line of thinking. So what, like, it's year 4 or 5, you like become fully vetted in the NFL, right? Then you get part of the pension program. So what, year 6 or 7, you get your own prescription pad, and then when you retire, you can write that this is the way it should be in the NFL?
They tried that with Brett Favre. It didn't work.
Yeah, but I'm not looking for a Schedule A. I mean, it's not like you're going to get addicted to anti-inflams. I understand you cannot take them for more than 3 or 4 weeks straight because it's rough on your liver. I just want this thing gone, and it has gone in the 6 weeks or 5 weeks, it's gone nowhere. And I've iced, and I've stemmed, and it's gone nowhere.
Stanley saying needling works. Daughter is a dancer, had it done on her hamstring, made a huge difference.
Okay. I'm going to give it a shot.
But Justin, on the other hand, says dry needling is like acupuncture. It's like a chiropractor. Some people love it. For other people, it is a waste of time and money.
All right.
Well, back to placebo.
Yeah, back to the whole placebo thing. By the way, we did have a couple of people chime in. with suggesting a French soup onion, French onion soup, excuse me.
Ooh, that,
to go
you
along
know what? That's a really
with,
good call.
With your chicken Caesar
perfect.
Salad tonight.
Caesar salad.
Yeah.
All there right, back go. To dry January. Here's the problem. And I don't understand it because it's healthy, but people bring you down. I had one person out of like nine saying, hey, way to go, good for you. And the other ones are like, that's stupid. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I'm weak. I'm weak.
We know.
So I adjusted it. It's been adjusted. Fine.
Damn it, like Chewy, I believed in you. I stood up
what's
for
one
you.
Word? Hold on, hold on. What's word? What's one word up from dry?
Damp.
Damp.
Damp. I'm doing a damp January. That's what we're going to call
it. It's not completely
it.
Wet.
It's an offshoot
but it's
of dry.
Damp.
It's a damp one.
We're just cutting back a little bit?
No, cutting back 2 days and the amount. So
before
so now
it was...
I probably... All right, let me ask you this.
Okay.
So if I'm doing a damp January, how far into March or how far into February do I have to take it for it to be the equivalent of a dry January?
I think the whole month.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to go damp January and February.
I can do that.
Yeah, and February is only 28 days.
Yeah,
so.
You're not giving up anything, so of course it's going to be easy.
Got to be a smart ass all the time. See, that would be Joshy. If we hung out more, Joshy would be the one. You're so stupid. What are you
no,
doing
so
here?
Here's actually the thing. I think Joshy would support you. If we were all hanging out at a bar and Joshy walked over, didn't know that you were doing it, had a glass of wine for you and sat it down. I mean, first of all, you would drink it because, like you said, you're weak. But if you said, I shouldn't have this, Joshy would take it away. Joshy would be like, oh, okay, I respect that you're doing that.
No, because allegedly, I'm not fun when I do dry January. That's what they tell me. You're not fun. And I like to be fun.
Is they one person?
No, there's more than one.
Okay.
But she is... She's the ringleader, I can tell you that.
She has the controlling majority of votes.
Yes. So,
I get a similar thing, so I know where you're coming from here.
So the trade-off is all of February.
Yeah. You got to be damp through
the only problem is I got the Spaniard coming for 5 days.
Yeah, that's... When's the Spaniard coming?
For my birthday.
Okay, so that's in February. Okay, yeah, this is...
Yeah.
You know what? This is not going to work for you, bud. This is just not going to work.
Might as well just try and retool and shoot for April or something.
Let's just shut it down, retool. We'll readdress and reassess after the Spaniard visits in February. Ugh.
You guys...
I feel, man... See, here's the thing. Like, you get on me when I don't support you. Then the one time I do support you, you do this. You just make me feel foolish.
Throw it back right in his face.
Yeah. Have your back. Oh, Chewy's got this. Chewy's got this. No problem. He can do it. He can last all the way until Valentine's Day. You make it 2 days?
Well, it's not me. It's my friends. I mean, if I was stronger.
That's accountability we look around
to
here.
Peer pressure, you know?
Not me, it's my friends. I love that. Speaking of friends, our friend Jason Wilde up in Green Bay going to give us the latest from the Green Bay Packers. A lot of things to get to from yesterday, including Jair Alexander saying something but not really saying anything. Keyshawn Nixon, Matt LaFleur, all of that we discuss coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Before we get to Jason Chu, a couple of texts I want to get to on the Carblish Talking text line. AB from Milwaukee saying the needles for dry needling, thinner than a hair. Yeah. Chu could look away, not notice. Okay. Stanley saying the needles are small, doesn't hurt. Casey saying dry needling helped for the back, does not hurt at all. But I do have one from the private Talking text line where my buddy David says, head needling, it works. They're super long, but very, very thin.
I will deal with that pain to get rid of the pain that I have.
Okay. There we go. We welcome now
I'll give it a run.
Okay. I just wanted to get those texts
Thank
in
you.
From the Carbless Talking text line. We now welcome in our friend, our teammates. We welcome in Jason Wilde, the Dude Tuesday edition of Jason. What's going on, bro?
I don't think dry needling gets rid of the pain that I have on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Friday.
In your ears?
Exactly. No. Great to be with you. Where's the boss today? She's getting ready for the national championship?
I don't know if she was going to Columbus or Cleveland, but she was going somewhere in Ohio for the story that she's got for the national championship game, which, of course, is coming up on Monday, which you can listen to right here on 94.5 ESPN. She's got a story about somebody for the Buckeyes.
I don't know how you figure out whether to cheer for Notre Dame or Ohio State.
Well,
not her, us.
I have a daughter that goes to Ohio State, to which my wife caved and is now sending her to the championship game. Caved?
Wow. Caved.
So I ran the numbers. Jason is like 4,000. And my daughter's good at negotiating, very good, but it didn't take long to, okay.
Wow.
I'm happy.
I had no idea about that. You're such a mystery to me these days.
Imagine doing a show with him every day.
Myself as well. See, that's a shot, Gabe. That's an unnecessary shot
what?
That you took when
me?
You're supposed to be my guy.
What? I mean, I was your guy, and then you decided that dry January meant you could have some drinks this weekend.
Jason, instead of doing a dry January, I'm doing a damp January in February.
A moist January. You live by your own code, brother. You just do what you need to do.
Speaking of living by your own code, Jair Alexander, Jason, he did not have a long interaction with those who were in the locker room yesterday, but basically saying, hey, I don't have anything good to say, so I'm not going to speak. Don't know if I'm going to be back. That basically puts the nail in the coffin, right? Like, Jair Alexander is no longer going to be a Green Bay Packer, and at some point this offseason, he is going to be traded or released.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's aware of that. Again, at some point, it would be great. And here was my frustration yesterday. So he comes in, and everyone was around someone else's locker. I can't remember who, but Chewy knows this. Like, the group kind of moves like an amoeba through the locker room, right? Like, somebody's talking, the whole gaggle goes over to that person, and then that's where, sometimes I'm able to do some of my best work, is I leave the mass of reporters and go track someone else down while, like I got Zach Tom that way yesterday. Zach Tom does not like large interviews. He just doesn't like it. So I had a good conversation with him. He admitted he didn't have a very good season, which I thought was interesting. That Peck was really a factor for him. But the group is over somewhere else, and I see Jair come in. And one of the benefits of doing this for a really long time, and I certainly, wasn't at that point when I was covering Chewy, but, guys that are there every single day, guys that you've known for a long time, from a reporter's standpoint, players are more likely to talk to you, right? Even if they don't want to. And so I said, hey, you got a minute? He's like, okay, sure. And so we're standing by his locker, and maybe I should have played this differently. Maybe I should have, said, hey, can I walk with you or something to get him away? Because then a couple of TV stations peel off the big group. They come over, and then he's like, no, I'm not talking. And I'm like, God dang it. Because I don't know about you, but of the mysteries of the season, he is probably the biggest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I really wanted to get real answers. And then, then he says what he did about, I don't have anything good to say, so I'm definitely not talking. And I understand they have work to do too, but I would just say this. There was no way he was ever going to do TV today, yesterday. He just wasn't. And so then they leave, And he decides to leave, and I'm following him, which is always a demoralizing deal. I said, all right, so do we do this now? He's like, no, forget it. I'm not doing it. And off he went, and I don't think we'll ever see him again. He went out the door, and that'll be his departure. So I don't know until someone else is willing to explain what the organization's frustration with him exactly was. I still think that he just didn't feel like his knee was properly healed, and he doesn't want to play when he's not 100%. And I think other people didn't like that belief. And then he had this surgery to alleviate the swelling. But Matt LaFleur, and I don't crush him for a lot of things. I know a lot of people have gotten after him lately. But him not being able to talk about Bakhtiari previously and then Jair this year without kind of showing his frustration, I don't think that helps anybody.
Jason, do you think this reaction is from the vibe he feels in the building or through social media?
No, I think it's
because when you're hurt, Jason, and you know, I have my share of injuries, they don't talk to you. They don't talk to you, really. You know, they ignore you, and they think that's going to cause you to come back quicker. So what I'm saying, is it coming from there, or is it coming from social media, you think?
No, I think it's coming from the vibe in the building and how he feels personally. Like, I don't think he wants to be here. And that is what I wanted to get to with him, frankly, is because, I mean, let's not lose sight of the fact that after he had that pick six in Tennessee, it was all seashells and balloons and puppy dogs and ice cream, right? Like, he loved Halfley. He loved the strength and conditioning staff. He had a better connection with the medical staff. And he even told our buddy Rob Domofsky that the suspension last year, maybe I really needed that. I mean, that was his quote to Rob. So, like, it felt like all was going to be right with the world this year. And quite frankly, after what was that, the third game of the season? You know, you're starting to think, okay, this guy's on kind of the Preston Smith plan. In even years, he's going to be an all-pro, right? Like the first three games, right? And you're like, okay, now he's finally kind of gotten his feet back on the ground with the organization. He hated Joe Barry. And now, I mean, remember, and I know he lost money with the suspension, so I'm sure that was part of it. But remember, two off seasons ago, he had a $700,000 workout bonus, and he blew it off. He didn't show. And then this year, with the same bonus, he did show. And I personally don't believe it was for the money. I believe that he was in a better place. So better off season, stronger start to the season, and yet we end up in almost the exact – in fact, we ended up in a worse spot than we did a year ago because, remember, he came back for the playoffs and had a pick against the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think the chapter will close, and it's unfortunate, and I am curious if he'll be able to find a new team that will pay him money because the guaranteed money will have run out in his deal. I'm curious if he will play somewhere else and regain. I mean, the guy's only 28 years old, so he still should have plenty of good football in front of him.
Well, transitioning Jason to his replacement, it seems like he's posturing to get more money. Is that true?
Yeah, it was interesting because we talked to Keyshawn Nixon for quite a while, and early on he dropped, you know, I want to be the number one corner. You know, I'm going to be ready to lock up other guy. You know, other team's number one guy, and he's never lacked for confidence. But then toward the end, that was when someone asked him. I think it was Ryan Wing from Fox 11 up here. You know, what did you think? You know, with an entire year now, what did you think of the new kickoff? And he said, I'm not really thinking about that. That's when he announced that he was going to talk to the coaches to let them know that CB1s don't return kickoffs. It was very much a, who was it? Was it Chucky Carr who said Chucky hacks on 3-0.
Chucky hacks on 2-0, correct. Yep. Chucky doesn't take that, Chucky hacks on 3-0.
Yeah. That's kind of how it felt.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Thank you, Jason.
Who remember that baseball story from the Brewers season many years ago? So, yeah, I don't know. Like, again, and I have an awesome relationship with Keyshawn. I did that story about his mom and going through cancer and all this stuff. And, you know, he trusts me. But I was, when he said that, I was kind of like, ooh. Like, of all the days to make that proclamation.
Yeah, stupid.
Doing it the day after you fumbled to start the playoff game. And look, I thought that was going to be the most important thing we talked about, was that he believed it was a helmet-to-helmet hit and that he definitely recovered the ball. And then in the pile, as Chewy knows, because he's been in those piles before, he had a couple of different players that who each one pulled an arm to get the ball out, and then somebody else snared it. So, you know, I thought that was going to be the most significant thing we got out of him. But nope, he had other plans. So, he did play well. I don't know if he played at a, you know, top flight corner level, but he did play well at corner outside, which he had not gotten the chance to do. But yeah, that was unexpected. I would be lying if I said I saw that coming.
Jason, were you part of the media that was in front of Tucker Kraft's locker yesterday?
I was not, but I saw the clip. And Tucker's an interesting cat now, man. Like, he's definitely not Chewy with that corner locker that you couldn't get to. Like, he talks extensively. He got votes in our Tom Mulhern Stand-Up Guy Award balloting. But were you surprised by, for those that didn't hear it, these comments about how you could feel that this was kind of brewing with the way that they lost to the Eagles, and then we need to wake up?
The
team needs to wake up?
Yeah. Those two were strong, and, you know, he's talking about next year he wants to be a bit, you know, more of a leader, which makes sense, you know, going into year three, sure. But, yeah, the whole what's brewing for us and we need to wake up, like, that to me says something was going on that maybe nobody was really aware of behind closed doors.
So the brewing thing, I took that as they were playing like garbage.
Sure.
And that was what was brewing, right?
But then when you pair that with the wake up,
yep,
like, there could be a deeper meeting as well.
There could be, or he could just have been riffing, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, I here's the thing, and I would say this to Tucker's face. So I don't know if you announce that you're going to be more of a leader. I think you do things to take on leadership, and then people follow you, right? Like, look, I know I do this at an annoying level, but I've been having a similar conversation with Sydney, who's 13. She was elected a captain on her volleyball team, and we were talking about leadership because she's great because she got basically the best of Paula, the best of me, and then on top of that, the worst of me, which kind of sucks for her. But she's so good with people and her teammates. And I said, you know, there you have to understand, and she does have kind of a, again, this I am not the cool dad, but I have a cool job where I get to be around a lot of great athletes and people who understand team dynamics, and I do think that there's some value in that for young athletes like the two that live in my house, right? And so you get to have those conversations with her. And I literally, I didn't get to do it last night because she had basketball practice, but I was thinking about the Tucker Kraft quote because I don't think that's how leadership works. And I've never seen guys make that. Chewy, tell me if I'm wrong. Like, you don't tell everyone you're going to be a leader.
Yes, no. We had guys like that, Jason, when I first got there. There was this one D lineman who got hurt, like, the first game of the year, who wouldn't shut up. You know, he's a roid boy. And he just, everyone was like, every time he spoke, it's like, geez, I'm crow. Here we go. Come on, Pack. Come on, Pack. That's what he'd say. We'd be like, will you shut up? You know, yeah, a leadership role has to be anointed to you, not given out by yourself. It's just, yeah, he's got to be careful there, Jason.
And look, maybe, I'm not trashing him. I was taken aback by that quote. But, like, maybe he does, you know, he's a young guy who played at South Dakota State, who barely played his rookie year the first half of the season, and now has experienced a ton of success. So I get it. At the same time, you know, if you want to take on a greater leadership role, because look, the way he plays the game lends itself to leadership.
Oh yeah, because he plays hard.
That's right, yes. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm not. All I'm saying is, I personally don't think that the proclamation is what we're looking for there. But again, the reason I bring that up is because from a kind of global perspective on what he said, I don't know what to make of it. Like, I don't know if there was real trouble brewing, or, you know, who needed a wake up call? Like, does he think that did he say that not understanding how strong of a statement that is? Right? Like, if his wake-up call is, hey, I mean,
if he wants to be a leader, he needs to realize how strong of a statement that is.
Right, yeah. Right. And yeah, so, yeah. Like, if his wake-up call line was, hey, we need to be more dialed in on the details. Well, that's not really what we mean when we talk about wake-up calls. Like, you need to get your blank together is the wake-up call. Like, we're not focused, or there's infighting, or you guys don't care enough, all those types of things. And so I'm always leery of making too much of a quote if I don't have more context. And again, I was talking to somebody else at that point, so I was not there. But it definitely popped off the page. There's no doubt about it to me.
Jason, which franchise you think is feeling their oats a little more today? A team that lost last night badly but far exceeded expectations, or a team that beat no one all year long and had an early exit to the playoffs? But there were rumblings of a potential Super Bowl berth this year. Which building you think feels worse?
Yeah, that's a good question, because can you tell me what teams you're referring to first?
The Vikings and the Pack.
Yeah, I know. I was just being funny. I think the Vikings situation is fascinating, because, like, I don't know how your last impression of Sam Darnold playing the way he did, how you ignore that and then say, no, he's the guy. Like, I can't wait to see what they do. Like, I'm super, super interested, because he didn't play well in the Lions game either, right? Like, he finished.
No,
he didn't.
And it kind of undid all this kind of Cinderella story of this guy revitalizing his career. So I'll say this. The Packers aren't in denial. Like, I thought for all the, you know, oh, we were so close in all these other games against good teams. You know, I talked to five or six guys yesterday, and it was Javon Bullard, a rookie 22-year-old, that put it best. Like, he was like, look, we want to believe we're a good team. We didn't beat any of the good teams. You can't keep saying that if you don't beat an elite team. I think we're a good team. Our record says we're a good team, but we didn't beat any of the good teams. And I thought, you know, here's a dude that played on back-to-back national championship teams at Georgia. I thought it was great to hear a young guy. Now, that's leadership, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's leadership. That's saying, hey, we thought we were better than we were. We didn't do it when the chips were on the table. We got to be better in those situations. That showed me something about him.
Jason, and real quick, because I want to be the first one that says it. First one. Will the Vikings kick the tires on Aaron Rodgers?
Oh. We'll discuss that on Thursday when I rejoin.
I wanted to be the first.
Man, Chewy, this is the second day in a row Chewy's doing it. Now, this is an extended tease all the way to Thursday, but Chewy's putting together some pretty big teases over the first 2 days of this week, Jason. We certainly appreciate it, but before we let you go, on the Carblish Talk and Text line, Adam says, dudes hanging out laughing at the word moist. Must be a dude Tuesday. Thank you, Jason.
His diagnosis of this show right on point. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The Tucker Craft sound. I want you to hear that, Chewy. I want you to hear and what you hear from Tucker Craft, the Packers tight end, who had some pretty strong things to say yesterday as the Packers were cleaning out their locker rooms. But I do want to let people know. Find out what all the screaming is about. It is National Pizza Week, and our friends at Palermo's, they know how to celebrate. With BOGO on Screamin' Sicilian at Pick and Save and Metro Market, Screamin' Sicilian thin and crispy pizzas. Buy one, get one through January 14th. You got to go. You got to get them today. It's a great time to stock your freezer with all your favorite Screamin' Sicilian flavors, or maybe you stock up at Piggly Wiggly. That is going to be happening later as well. All your Screamin' Sicilian favorites are on sale for just $6.99. And when we talk about Palermo's, we talk about all the different brands. But within Screamin' Sicilian stuffed crust, Detroit style, Screamin' Sicilian tavern style, or just the regular Screamin' Sicilian, all on sale at Piggly Wiggly for $6.99 through January 21st. Always celebrate whatever the occasion is with Palermo's, but especially when it's National Pizza Week and National Pizza Month. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Where else can you get football analysis that includes things like dropsies and pixies and intercepsies and flowy? It's flowy. Flowy. The offense needs to be more flowy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper.
Carpool's talking text line is 800-990-3776. If you missed it last week, Chewy talked about doing a dry January. We thought, or I shouldn't lump everybody else here. I thought Chewy could definitely make it till Valentine's Day. I was wrong. He is now having a damp January. So this text on the Carpool's talking text line. Nationally accomplished researcher made the suggestion instead of dry January, Chew, to shoot for one dry week per month. Maybe healthier in the end and easier than an entire month. That's from Mike in Hattiesburg.
All right, I've done that.
Yeah, so once a week, because that, you know, once a week, you know, or once a month, you know, then you get 12 weeks instead of just doing the 4 weeks of a typical month.
I kind of like damp January, February.
Yeah. Kind of feels like you're stuck on that one.
Yeah.
I'm not moving.
No, doesn't really feel like it. Tucker Craft, we just talked about this with Jason Wilde. He had some interesting things to say. Second-year player, going to be a third-year player next year. And he had some interesting things to say about leadership, had interesting things to say about the Packers. And he started by saying that the loss to the Eagles felt like it was brewing.
Well, we certainly didn't win anything. The whole last few games that we played, it just... You could kind of feel what was brewing for us. We just didn't finish. I wouldn't necessarily say that the season was a failure. We learned a lot about some of the individuals on our team and how these players can impact the future of this this building.
What do you hear as a former player when you hear another player talk like that, Chew?
What do I say, and I've been saying it for years now, Gabe, what do I say about young players as it gets late in the season?
They're not young players anymore?
They what?
They hit a wall.
There you go. They hit a wall. Sounds to me like they hit a wall. Sounds to me like a young team, like, pouting, and the season's so long, and this, and they just don't understand the difference between getting ready for the playoffs. And they certainly played like it, right? I mean, certainly in the Bears game, they were just flat as flat can be. And you know what? I would even include the coaches in there because they did not coach their best the last three games of the year. And that's what, you know what? You want to have the medal of having the youngest team in the NFL? Well, can sometimes expect this because they do hit a wall. And it sounds to me like they hit a wall and then couldn't dig themselves out of it. There's no switch. I told you, there's no switch. There's no switch. Can't play crappy at the end of the year and go, flip a switch, oh, we're going to be great. Doesn't work.
Well, that was not all that he had to say, because we talked about this with Jason. The words wake up were said by Tucker Craft as well as he addressed the media yesterday.
Yeah, as a team, we need to wake up. I mean, how many times do we have to just you know, everyone talks about how we're just not okay with just making the playoffs, but we have yet to, you know, walk the walk.
No, they haven't done anything. You know what? My question would be, and I'll pose it to you guys. Does he want to be the youngest team because he feels they're younger, more athletic, their body isn't beat up as much, or is he cheap?
I think he wants to be, I don't think he wants to be the youngest team. At least I hope he doesn't want to be the youngest team every year because this is what happens. But also, like, because of what happened last year, like, this team is in a rebuild. I think we all lost sight of that they're still building this team up. Like, they kind of tore it down. They got rid of a lot of the veterans, whether that was Rodgers, whether it was Devontae the year before, Mercedes Lewis. They got rid of a lot of it, and they tore it down when Jordan Love. Like, they didn't want to use the term. They didn't want to use
the
word.
There was no mention of rebuild at the beginning of the season.
No,
they
not this year. No, arrived. No, no, no. Yes, I understand you. But, like, at the beginning of last season, they didn't want to say rebuild last year either. But guess what 2023 was? It was a rebuilding year.
Oh, that was a rebuild. But, yes, I agree with you, but there was no mention of a rebuild going into this year.
No.
Based upon what they did last year in the playoffs.
Correct.
They were feeling their oats.
Correct.
And they didn't have any oats.
But the fact of the matter is, it takes more than a year to build the thing up. Right? Yeah. So I think they were the youngest team last year. They, you know, had a lot of young players, and a lot of those draft players impacted this year as well, so they become the youngest team again.
But I think
Goody wants to skew young. I don't think he wants to be the youngest.
But you know why it's a rebuild, and they might not wanted to admit it, that it was a rebuild, but you know why it's a rebuild? Because Goody screwed up. He screwed up with 9 first-round draft picks on defense, and none of them have panned out. None of them. We're going to sit here, oh, Rashawn Gary made the Pro Bowl last year. We're good there. Come on. Come on. Kenny Clark? I can't wait to do these grades. Eric Stokes? Eric Stokes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Quay Walker played better towards the end of the year, but at the end of the day, Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, they're guys. They're guys. They're not superstars. You said it yourself, Gabe. In order to be a Super Bowl team, you need superstars.
Mm-hmm. They don't exist. They don't exist right now.
That's why they don't want to say rebuild. Because if you say rebuild, well, you had 9 first-round picks on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be another one.
You shouldn't have to rebuild.
I mean,
that's why they don't want to say rebuild.
That's also not the proper context because we have to – historically remember Aaron Rodgers and being the oldest team in the league and all the aging players that had there, and they to keep some of those guys and to try and add to that team, they were borrowing from the future to field the team in the present. So there was rebuild from that sense. They had to get younger. They had to build a core. What they're doing right now is trying to build a young core. I do think Goody has no interest in paying guys in the back end of their career. The Kenny Clark move to me was out of character for him.
I'm really curious of how many third contracts he gives out again.
Yeah.
Because he's done it now with Bakhtiari. It's bit him in the ass. And now, based on this year, the Kenny Clark one certainly bit him in the ass.
It seemed like Kenny Clark was basically done in Green Bay prior to him then getting re-signed for 3 years. So, like, it's not that he hasn't made mistakes, but they're trying to build a young core of players they're going to keep around for a while, and they're going to build and then take a full run at it. Like, I don't think this was an empty the bucket type of season. We're going for it. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get younger. They wanted to figure out that wide receiver room. They wanted to give guys an opportunity to flourish. Some of them failed. Some of them stepped up in a big way. There was a rebuild in a sense. The reason we don't want to call it a rebuild is because they were successful and then they were a letdown in the following year. But our expectations were sky high.
But again, like when I take a step back, it's going to take more than 2 seasons to go from where they were in the offseason of 2023 to get to where they want to go.
Hold on. How many first-round picks were there on the defensive side of the ball in the last, say, 6 years? How many?
Oh, I mean, like all of them.
It's 5,
like,
except for Jordan
I know,
Morgan.
But how many would you expect to hit on to at least be real Pro Bowl players? How many would you expect to hit on if say they were nine.
Two? Oh, if there were nine?
Yes.
Well, but see, I mean,
three.
If you lump Kenny Clark in there, like in defense of Kenny Clark, who was a first round pick and has been a legitimate Pro Bowl player for this team, like the
probably the best one.
The criticism of Kenny Clark is you gave him the third contract, yes, and this is what happened this year. But like Kenny Clark, like beyond the shadow of a doubt, was a hit as a first round pick for the Green Bay Packers.
But I agree with what you're saying, Joshy. They had to get younger. But on the flip side, come on.
Well,
come
so on. What I'm curious to
you
say,
you had so many first-round picks on defense that were caca, crap, caca.
Oh yeah, and Chewy, that's just going to continue this year. I fully expect that first pick at number 20, which is 23, by the way, because of the Vikings lost last night. So thank you to the Minnesota Vikings for giving the Packers a better draft pick.
Thanks, Sam Darnold.
At 23, I fully expect that to be a corner or a pass rusher. Fully expect it. Like, they're just going to do another one.
And, like, Jair was an absolute hit. We can't argue that. He was an all-pro level, like, one of the best in all of the league at that position. So, like, there are hits there you're going to miss. It's been a streak here of Rashawn Gary is not as good as you want him to be. He's not also as bad as sometimes it sounds like we're talking about him as, but he's not productive enough.
The problem with Rashawn is he's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a solid B. Maybe a B minus. Getting paid to be an A.
Solid Bs don't get $25 million.
Correct. He's getting paid to be an A.
You have to match the money with the performance on the field.
And when you get paid that kind of money, the reason why Jordan Love gets that contract or Rashawn Gary gets that contract is because they make the players around them better because they're that good.
Yeah.
And you can afford to pay that money to that player and then be younger or cheaper at other places because, well, you're going to have better opportunities because Rashawn Gary is next to you.
Also, in the last offseason, the Packers added at least two A players on defense. Xavier McKinney being one of them.
Yes.
And Edgerrin Cooper certainly looks like it, with Evan Williams and Javon Bullard an opportunity to upgrade themselves. They're at very worst, probably a B, with what we've seen from them already. So, like, those are four players that are instantly better than anything I can remember.
What I'm really curious, and there was an article today in the Journal Sentinel kind of going through some of the Packers offseason stuff. Like, because of the way it was worded, like, I think it's going to get some people excited. Heck, it got me excited. But there's no way Goody does it. Because there's a couple people that I would say would be maybe some of Goody's biggest mistakes that are going to be available this offseason are Rasul Douglas, who is going to be a free agent, and Davante Adams, who is probably going to be available via trade or might just get straight up cut by the Jets. How interested would you be in either one of those guys?
No. Devontae.
No. As what? A third receiver?
Oh, Devontae is their number one, and it's not even close.
How old is he?
31.
What are you going to pay him?
Not a lot.
You're not. If he gets released, Chew, you're not going to have to pay him much.
If the money matches.
But here's the thing.
Not paying
like
him $28 million a year.
Devontae is still one of the best receivers in the league. He still is. Like, he had a game with 198 yards receiving this year. Like, he still gets open. Like, his quarterback play around him this year was crap, and he still had almost 1,100 yards, which is light years ahead of any Packers receiver.
You called Aaron Rodgers crap?
He was bad this year. Yeah. I don't know if you decided to watch any Jets games. I, for whatever reason, decided to, and woof.
You heard it here.
What?
He's going to go to Minnesota.
I honestly hope he does, because then I don't have to worry about them.
Do you believe him?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about wherever Aaron Rodgers goes. Like, I don't think you have to worry about him anymore.
Because not only has his play declined, the cult of personality that is Aaron Rodgers brings stuff into a building you don't want. And I think that has now shown for the past two teams he played for.
What were they saying about Brett? They were saying the same thing about Brett.
But here's the thing. When Brett went to Minnesota, he still had value.
Yeah.
Like, Brett played well with the Jets and then had the bicep injury. That like derailed the back part. Like, but he had them ready to make the playoffs his first year there until he played through the injury like he always does. And then he goes to Minnesota, has the best year statistically of his career. I will eat whatever you put in front of me if Aaron Rodgers goes to Minnesota and then has the best statistical year of his season, of his career.
This could be a fun year.
He's not going to Minnesota, and he's not going to have the best statistical year of his career.
Then where's he going?
I don't know. Where does he go? Peru? Is that where he goes for his ayahuasca journey?
Him and Big Mike, baby. Saints.
Yeah, it's... I honestly don't know. That's not some. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit on this show, Chew, but the veteran quarterback market of him, Kirk Cousins, and Russell Wilson, it's not good for anybody. Like, that's...
Which one of those...
You are tempting fate.
Which one of those goes to a team that Chewy gloms onto as the don't sleep on team? Because we were both, he was both on the Jets and the Falcons.
Yeah.
Which quarterback
I don't remember
there?
The Jets. And I was close with the Falcons. Because if they made the playoffs, then.
You yes. predicted Aaron Rodgers
to
be MVP.
Can we just go to break? We're so far behind right now.
Oh, now he cares about the clock. More in 2 minutes. Jen Gibbs, Chew.